F4.
Number 21A.
All right, we are still in that big part, the third part of Christianity, and we have considered it from the point of view of truth, first as from the aspect of the Word, and we are seeing that man is incapable of sin, and from the aspect of the Christ, that man is incapable of sickness. And then third, Christianity, that man is incapable of death. And now comes the fourth, namely that man is incapable of personal sins. So after sin, sickness and death, John handles the claim of personal sins. And this is naturally the most important part, because it's that part which we don't want to give up. More or less, most people like to give up sin a little bit. Practically everybody doesn't like to be sick, nor die. But hardly anybody wants to give up personal sins. So we come to a very important part where John is showing that Jesus could see that this is the crucial point. That now comes the crucial point where his time is come and where we have to see that we are willing to lay down personal sins. And only that when we are allowing ourselves to be robbed of personal sins, only then really can we make the grade. How does he show that? He also shows it in four steps, with a little bit of aspect of Word, and then Christ and Christianity and science. So the first very little aspect is from the point of view of the Word, namely that the pride of life must be given up. So that's the point. So only in that way, when we give up personal sins, he says that only then really the Son of Man should be glorified. So we never come really to the glorification of our true manhood unless we give up our personal sins. And this is what he is showing here. The situation was again still in Jerusalem. Jesus is in Jerusalem right before the time that he will be crucified. And it was at that time when everybody, all the Jews, came up to Jerusalem for the Passover. They came to the feast, and even the Greeks wanted to see Jesus. And so Andrew and Philip went to Jesus and said, "Look here, the people want to see you. Those Greeks, they come from a long way. Make yourself known." And that was the point where Jesus then said, "No, the hour is come." For the first time, he says, the hour is come. Now we make real business. Now we can really go to the depths of my mission. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Can you see now we have the glorification of the Son of Man? The Son of Man is the Son of God applied to the human situation. That's the Son of Man. The dominion that the Son of God has in the human, that is the Son of Man. So that Son of Man who is overcoming sin, sickness and death is also overcoming personal sins. Then he is glorified. So we will never find our glory unless we lay down the personal sins. And this, oh boy, this is a job. This is a job, to lay down the personal sins. How does he show how it has to be laid down? 24, he says, first as a simile, he says, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So if the personal sense dies, it can bring forth much fruit. But it must die. a personal sense, must die. Now he puts it into metaphysical language, the same thing, and says, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in the world shall keep it unto eternal life. So he shows what is implied, that he says, if we love our life, we shall lose it. Now, here we must see that in the Greek, he uses for love the term philia, that is the lower sense of love, the ordinary feeling sense of love, the lovey-dovey sense of love. And he says, if we love our life, and life here is also the lower sense of life, it is the psyche, therefore the corporeal, worldly sense of life. So if he says, if we really love our life and have a jolly good life and like it, we shall lose it. And he that hateth this kind of life, this life in the world, who hateth really the corporeal sense of life, the human sense of life, the material sense of life, he shall really keep it unto life eternal. And here life is Zoe, which is the capital life. So he says, we only can gain the true life, the divine life, if we really give up, if we hate, if we give up the false, mortal, human concept of life. Only then will we gain life. As Mrs. Eddy has shown when I read in connection with Lazarus and about the transition called death, that if we stick still to the material sense of things, then death will bring us not further. We'll just go from one dream to the other. But she says, if we use our time for loving the spiritual and are ready for the spiritual, then, she says, then that transition will lead us into the reality of divine life. Here, John says the same thing. So this 25 is really the teaching, the core of Jesus' teaching, how showing the method that we can apply in order to gain eternal life. 27, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Actually, it should be a question mark there, according to meaning. Should I now be troubled? Should I now say to the Father, save me from this hour? He says that in order to say, this would be foolish of me to say, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. He said, this is really what is within my mission. My mission is that the hour has come where I have to demonstrate life eternal. I have to demonstrate it myself. I have to be crucified so that I can resurrect myself. I am the resurrection and the life. Now I have to prove it, and now the hour is come. And now should I be sorry that this hour is come, where I get all the honor of the world, where I get the honor of eternity? Should I be sorrow now that the hour is come where I have to die in order to live again? Shall I be sorry? You see, it is question mark. So he didn't say, well, if only this cup would pass pass before me, from me. He didn't say that. John didn't say that. So because John knew so well what was Jesus' real mission, that he wasn't just a good man walking around in the country and doing good all over the place. He saw the true mission of Jesus, that the mission of Jesus is to prove the 5,000-year period, just as the prophets will prove the 4,000-year period. And they're doing their job properly in showing in the 4,000 period really the prophetic age. So Jesus said, I have no reason now to be sorry about it and pray the Father that it should not happen. Why should he? if now I really get the high degree, it's like going to the at the university to the last exam where you get your PhD. Well, sometimes you go a bit with a trembling heart, but happily enough, this is the hour where you get your honors. And so he saw that too, that the Son of Man now should be glorified and get his honor. So let that come, let go, and let it happen. So he said, Father, glorify now thy name. He said, even that's your job, Father. That's now your job. You have had that long plan over 4,000 years, coming to the 5,000 year, that you wanted to show to the world that life is eternal. Now, Father, you honor it. It's your business. Huh? It's your business. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And when that voice came from heaven, it had two different impact on the people standing around. The ones said, well, it was a thunder. It thundered. The other said, no, the angels were saying something. Can you hear? Either it is the lion that roareth, huh? Or it is a still small voice, according to the people, according to how we get it. For those who are not ready, it is like lion roars, huh? As in the apocalypse. Or here, it is like a thunderstorm. Huh? For those who were prepared and were ready for the message and ready for what would be happening, it was an angel spake unto him. So we too experience the same thing. We too experience that if we teach a class, we know that in some of the students it thunders, and in some others it is angel's voice. We know it. Because according to the preparation we have within our heart, we hardly can bear it. And they also say, oh, golly, I have waited all my life for that. This is very different. It always depends on the level of consciousness in which one is in. So he says, 31, now is the judgment of the world. Now is the judgment of the world. What is that judgment? Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So that's the prince of this world is another terminology than to say personal sense, the pride of life, the pride of one's own personal being. That is cast out. Now that has to go. Or God cannot be glorified and the Son cannot be glorified. Because God does not know people. He does not know any personal sense. All that personal sense stuff has to go out before we can be glorified. We can't think that we can build up personal sense and be the top and be the highest and be the best and I don't know what and be glorified. No. You have to lay down your life. You have to see that you can't do anything out of yourself. The Son cannot work out of himself. So that was the teaching that he has been given. And I, 32, if I be lifted up from the earth, you see, out of that earth stuff, out of that mortal mind stuff, will draw all men unto me. So only as we lay down the mortal sense of thing, we can really have within ourselves an atmosphere that can attract the world. Otherwise, we cannot. Otherwise, we cannot. So this is the very first step, you see, to see that there is no glorification except we lay down our own glory. We lay down our personal glory and the drive for personal glory. Then he changes the subject and we come to the aspect of the Christ. I have summarized it to give up unbelief because faith or belief saves. So it gives the sense that only by giving up unbelief, that's another way of laying down mortal, of another aspect of laying down one's own opinions and one's own viewpoint, that only then and believing really in the principle of being, that only then can we be saved and save. When you read the text, you will see at once that the text is just full of the term believe. So you can't help but seeing that here the subject changes. You see, very often, not always, but very often you can see where the metaphysical subject changes, where the category changes, merely by the fact that certain terms occur quantitatively more than before or after. That quantity is also a quality. That the quantity can show you what is the quality of the subject. So that's why I say here and there I bring out, well, this term is used so and so many times, and this term is used so and so many times, because it gives also an indication. Not always, but it is one of the indices that show what is really the main subject. Here you see it very well, though I can't read the whole text, but it's full of that sense that we have to believe, that we have to understand. See, we are in science, Christianity is science, so Christianity is we must science, we must understand. That's the term now, in order that we can really overcome personal sense. So, 34, it reads, "The people answered him, 'We have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever.'" So, see, because he said before, you understand that only because he finished his first subject by saying, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." So they said, why should you be lifted up from the earth? Because according to our law, that Christ abides forever. It doesn't need to be lifted up. That's what the Jews said. Again, 34. "The people answered him, 'We have heard out of the law of Moses, that Christ abides forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up?'" Another question, "Who is this Son of Man?" And so Jesus had to answer that question, who is now that Son of Man that has to be lifted up, that has to be exalted above the earth, that is no more personal, that is just principled in its own nature. So Jesus said, "Yet a little while is the light with you." That's the Son is with you. "Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. While ye have light, believe in that light." You see, now it comes, you have the Christ here, here he is, I am that light, he has said, "I am that Christ, I am the Son of God, the light is here." Now what you have to do is to believe in that Christ, to believe in the light, that ye may be the children of life. So the attitude now is of that understanding the Christ. Without understanding, you cannot overcome personal sense. You will always stay with the same old mortal, and you cannot be lifted up as the Son of Man. 37, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." Can you see again? They did believe not on him. So it's a constant question of believing and not believing. And on this question now relies the fact if the Son of Man can be lifted up, because he can only be lifted up through understanding the Christ. We cannot have the Son of Man without the Son of God. So fundamentally we are always the Son of God, and if we believe in that, then we make ourselves the Son of Man. Then when we adopt our Christ selfhood, with that Christhood, we take care of sin, sickness, and death. So the fourth part here of Christianity as science will tell us now that we have to understand that Christ and make it our own. Then he quoted from Isaiah. I leave that out. And all what he quoted is that even Isaiah had that trouble, that people would not believe, and that their eyes were blinded and so on, and therefore they could not see the glory. And then he goes on, 44, where Jesus said, "He that believeth on me," we have again the believing, "he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." He's terrific. You see, either he shows everything goes out from the Father and then comes to the Christ, to the Son, and the Son hands it down to all and to everybody, or else he goes the other way around and says, "He that believeth on the Son," he, that is Christianity, he, the people who believe in the Son, in the Christ, they actually believe in the Father, the Word. And you see, then you make 3-2-1. So this is the rhythm that you will now see more and more coming in, that rhythm, that now he goes backward. Up to now he has always shown deduce from the Father to the Son to all. Now he shows, if you want to be the Son of Man, you actually have to accept the two and the one. And in the measure as you accept the two, you can't help but to accept the one, because the two comes from the one. Did I put that right? With 1, 2, 3? Yes? So it's a very simple rule, huh, that he constantly uses. He uses that cybernetic circle. And he, 45, "And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me." Isn't it wonderful? Think if we could say, "And he that seeth me, seeth the Father, seeth God." It couldn't make a difference between God and him. He said, if you see me, you also see the Father. If you see the Christ, you also see the Father, God. So he made no distinction between the Father and the Son in quality, not at all. He said, who sees me, sees nothing else but the Father, but because we have seen earlier, he said, "The works that I do because the Father works in me. The works that the Father do, I do too." So he always saw that out of himself he could do nothing. Out of ourselves, we can do nothing. So what we can do is that we understand, believe, that we understand this law, that we understand the Christ, that we understand that unity with God. And if we understand that, we understand the Father, then we understand God. So we can see that, that's terrific, because it shows everyone that sees an idea always sees that authority which is behind the idea, sees also the Father. This is a terrific thing. In practice, you know, this is so good. If in practice you come to the point where somehow the Christ reveals to you, "Take up the idea so-and-so," whatever that idea is. Let's say, "Take up the idea intelligence." Well, so you see, oh, it has to do with the true divine intelligence as idea. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. See it that it is from the Son and from the Father. So in practice you go and say, yes, that idea intelligence is not just an isolated idea. It has behind him itself, it has the infinitude of the divine mind. So that I see the idea intelligence is actually the idea of the infinite, not only of a little situation. It is the idea, therefore, of infinite mind. Therefore, intelligence is the idea of infinite spirit. It's the idea of infinite soul, of infinite principle. Intelligence is the idea of infinite life. Intelligence is the idea of infinite truth, and it's the idea of infinite love. Can you see, you close your idea with the Father? If you see me, you see the Father. And unless we go back to the one and all whole, We are staying in a isolated situation. We have isolated ideas. We don't have the one and the all. Naturally, when you see that, you see, you can say, well, if I see that the idea of intelligence is the idea of the infinite mind, you can also say then it has all the ideas of mind. That idea of intelligence, therefore, is the idea of the infinite spirit, therefore reflects all the ideas of spirit. And so on, through so. Can you see that it opens up an infinite realm? Never leave an idea alone as idea. It's isolated, it's fragmented, it has no power behind itself. Yeah, so that's about what he was saying here. So, 46, I am come a light into the world. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Are we going out from today onward, all through the year, that you feel I'm not coming to this world to judge, but to save? Whatever the situation is, I'm come not to judge, not to criticize, not to weigh up something. I'm come to save. How can I save? How can I save? How can I save? I'm not come to criticize people, to weigh them up in the scale of metaphysics, what they do and how much they do. I come to everyone to save. Can we hold that tone? That's love and mind. That's meaning that I go out from perfection and only see the idea of perfection, nothing else. Then I cannot judge, because love does not judge, because it has nothing in view that is not lovely. Love never loses sight of loveliness. Didn't we have that? That's love of mind. Think what we would do. We would go out into the world and stick to that attitude. I am coming to this big world not to judge, but to save, and to save, and to save, and to save. And my halo is on the object. His statements are so big. So 49, the Father which sent me, he gave a commandment. Again we see that he gave us a commandment. What is that commandment? That I should say what I should speak. That we only say that what comes really from love. That alone we should speak. That alone is our teaching. That alone is our attitude. That alone is our worldview. That alone is our theory of the whole world. That we speak and that we think and that we value and that we love and that we feel only that which comes from perfection, love and mind. And I know that this commandment is what? Life eternal. Always he ends up with life eternal. Okay?